Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
It was one of the two or three essays of the weekend in the FT. We welcome from PIMCO, Mohamed El-Erian. Dr. El-Erian, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I'm looking here. Lawrence McDonald out with a smart tweet today, going back to April of a few years ago. S&P 500 up 37%. Shanghai Composite negative 37%. Are we decoupled?
So it's fascinating. The answer is we are somewhat decoupled because the narratives are different, but the narratives are going to have to converge. So let me explain.
Please.
If you listen to the bond market, the most common narrative is that the Fed has changed the liquidity paradigm, that people are realizing that they can no longer rely on central banks that are both able and willing to support the bond market, and therefore you're getting a major correction. If you look at the equity market, it's a different narrative. In the equity market, the narrative is, yes, central banks may be stepping back, but they're stepping back because growth is coming back. And therefore, equities are less vulnerable. But then when you look at the emerging market equities, which are the most dependent on growth,
right,
the price action is completely contrary. And there, the concern is that growth is declining very quickly and that certain countries are being pushed into policy incoherence because of how wild the world has become. So you get very different narratives. And the exciting thing is over the next few months, these narratives are going to have to converge.
You and I, Dr. El-Erian, I think we could talk for 5 hours this morning. There's so much to talk about. Let's wander through this, Mike, as we can. We have a Bloomberg story out about a lost decade in bonds. This phrase from Howard Ward of GAMCO. Your team at PIMCO, led by B. Gross, has been dealing with this in real time. Is this a moment for bonds, in your opinion, or do we have a new higher yield regime where all, including your good colleague, Mr. Gross, have to adapt?
So if you look over the remainder of this year, what we're going through right now will probably prove like a moment for bonds, in the sense that we're having a good old-fashioned technical unwind because people got offside on the carry trade. So what's going on right now is what we call the assault on carry. And it is going to overshoot. These technical unwinds inevitably overshoot. Now, why isn't it the beginning of something much more this year? Because growth is still too weak. And in fact, the growth prospects will become even weaker after the volatility of the last few days. Super secularly, so you're talking over the next 5 to 10 years, yes, we are probably looking at a change in interest rate dynamics. But in the short term, this is technicals triggered by the central bank. And ultimately, growth is going to have to surprise on the upside if yields are to stay this high. And we don't think growth will surprise on the upside.
What's your short term? 10-year yield, 2.61 right now. 2 year, 0.41, so there's your curve. How long does that last, and where do they go back down to? How far?
If you ask me, Mike, by the end of the year, are we likely to have 10-year rates higher or lower than here in yield? I will tell you most likely lower, because growth is going to disappoint. If you tell me over the next few weeks, I will tell you that's a really hard call, because we are in the midst of this technical unwind. Don't forget that every asset class is dealing with some major liquidity changes.
And Mohamed, one of the distinctions I phrased between El-Erian and Gross is your outlook on France. I noticed the core inflation in France, truly, folks, is like a rock out a window. It is coming down, disinflation, not deflation, but wow, what a descent in price change in France. The same thing somewhat in the United States. Is your new normal tepidness, which we just heard from Scott Sumner of Bentley as well, is it about tepid real growth or is it about tepid price change?
So it's both in the short term. It's about tepid and or anemic growth, and it's about the inability to get inflation in the short term. Over the longer term, it's where the question mark comes. And we are debating actively in our investment committee and in our various forums as to how inflationary dynamics evolve over the next 3 to 5 years. I think what's interesting in Europe, Tom, if I may add, is that we are starting to see the calm that was imposed by the ECB come under pressure. And keep in mind this notion we have here at PIMCO of the stable disequilibrium. The central banks have been able to impose stability, but the underlying dynamics are in disequilibrium. And now we're seeing the disequilibrium impose itself.
Is it a disequilibrium of the real economy or a disequilibrium of the banking system?
It's mainly a disequilibrium of the real economy. And if you want the one word answer, insufficient growth. So whether you look at the US, where the healing process is ongoing but slow, or whether you look at Europe, where certain countries like Cyprus and Greece have no growth model, they have no growth engines anymore, what the West lacks is growth. And that is the underlying disequilibrium. And whether you are a believer in deficient aggregate demand or not enough supply and structural reforms or even debt overhangs, It doesn't matter what you believe in. The bottom line is there isn't enough growth in the global economy right now.
Well, then, does the QE that the Fed is undertaking work effectively to deal with that?
And that's where the BIS report, Mike, over the weekend is so important. It was certainly necessary to avoid something much worse, but everybody acknowledged it wasn't sufficient. And the longer you stay in this experimental zone, the longer you use tools that are imperfect for the task at hand, the higher the cost and risks, as Mr. Bernanke calls them, or the collateral damage and unintended consequences, as PIMCO calls them, not only for the US, but for the rest of the world. And that's the phase we're in, where we're seeing a tipping in perception between the benefits on the one hand, which the markets romance for quite a few years, into the cost and risks. And you're also seeing that narrative come out of the Fed itself.
Who do I believe, Dr. L. Arian? Do I want to believe the hawk Bernanke or the lesser hawk Dudley?
So I think they're both in the same camp. And the question which you raised, Tom, which is critical, is the following. Will the Fed try to walk back from how the market has perceived its comments? And some this morning interpreted Dudley's speech as the first step of a walk back. I think it's premature to call it that. I also think that walking back is not that easy, because the central bank brand, this notion that the markets had that they were wise, they were powerful, and they were effective, is under assault, if you like. And the Fed has to be very careful about what it does with its reputation here. Similarly for the Bank of Japan. I mean, we've had a period where they have been totally dominant in terms of their brand, and this brand is coming under pressure.
Now, for the last 6 to 8 months, you've had a lot of people on one side saying the Fed is making a mistake with QE. They need to raise rates now. Others saying that the economy is so weak, the Fed needs to do more QE. Coming out of last week's press conference, you see people saying, well, the markets don't think the Fed's growth estimations are correct. The markets are reacting to the idea that QE will end and they've got some yield trades on they have to get out of. It seemed to be a lot of different interpretations of what's going on. What's your bottom line of what we're seeing here? Are all markets trading because they think the Fed's incompetent, or are there a lot of different cross currents going?
So our bottom line, Mike, is what you've heard from us for quite a while now. Central banks are good at building bridges. They're not good at delivering destinations. They're not good at delivering destinations because they don't have comprehensive policy tools. So they can buy time for the system, but you need the other policymakers with better tools to step up to the plate. They have not. So the Fed has found itself in this position where if it goes forward even more, it creates damage. But going back is a very complex issue. Now, the minute the market started recognizing that both the willingness and the ability of central banks is in doubt, you got a change in the liquidity paradigm. And when you change the liquidity paradigm, what you get is massive technical unwinds. And that speaks to the volatility. Remember, volatility in itself causes rule-based investors to take off their positions.
Okay, so convexity comes in. What is a technical reversion? What do you mean by that, what you just said about the technical efforts of the market?
So market positioning takes into account various risk premia, including the liquidity risk premium.
Mm-hmm.
And the liquidity risk premium had been pushed down to very, very low levels. You've heard us say, you know, don't underestimate how important liquidity is in this environment. It's a stable disequilibrium, so be careful. So now that the liquidity premium has shot up, people are forced to revisit their trades, and a lot of them are unwinding.
Yeah.
Add to that three other things. People are worried about outflows, which are occurring. People are worried about dealers not having much appetite for inventory, which is true. And of course, let's not forget that a lot of crossover investors are looking to get back closer to home. So you get this technical unwind, which is indiscriminate in its impact on various instruments.
What the heart of this debate to me is about price change. There's a belief of a better economy and a belief of a better, a more vibrant economy with more vibrant inflation. You aggressively push against that. What will Mohammed El-Erian watch in the coming days and weeks as we try to get to the next Fed meeting with all their speeches, July 30, 31?
So the next days is about the technicals. And we are spending a tremendous amount of time in our investment committee and with our portfolio managers around the world, understanding the liquidity conditions of markets. And I will keep on stressing, Tom, this is really important. Okay, look at what bid-offer spreads are doing. Look at what volume is doing. Liquidity today is king, and what we're getting is cascading liquidity failures. So this is for the next few days. Over the longer term, you're absolutely right. It's about the handoff. Do we hand off to buoyant growth, as the Fed expects, or do we remain in anemic growth in the U.S. with Europe in recession, China slowing down, and policy incoherence increasing in certain emerging markets? We don't see, unfortunately, the handoff to very strong growth. Okay, so we worry about weak growth.
Thank you so much, Mohammed El-Erian, on a busy day. Good luck in your investment meeting this morning out at Newport Beach. Dr. El-Erian, of course, with PIMCO.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.